Good evening, everyone. A warm word of welcome once again to the house of the Lord. It's good to see each one that is gathered out. And as always, it is our prayer that the Lord will meet with us and that the Lord will bless us as we're found in his house again this evening. Go through the announcements as briefly as possible. And let me remind you of the installation service of the Reverend Thomas Laverty in our Gardenstown congregation on Tuesday night at 7:30. We certainly, as a congregation and as a minister, even we do encourage you to pray for the Lord's servant as he takes up that work over there in Scotland, that the Lord will bless him and that the Lord will use him in the days that lie ahead. Then for our own services here in the church, we remind you on Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. is our midweek Bible study and prayer meeting, which this week is taking the form of a deputation service for our sister Miss Christina Logan. And we do encourage each one to make that effort to come on Wednesday night and to hear even our sister's report as she brings us up to date on the work that she's involved in with the children. And we, as always, we do remind you of the offering that will be lifted at the end of the service towards our sister's work. So do make that effort this Wednesday evening at 8 p.m, young and old alike. It'll be good to see you here in the house of the Lord. Then the service is next Sunday at the normal times of 11:30 and 7 p.m. with the time of prayer preceding both services, both in the morning and the evening time. And after the morning meeting, we will be observing the Lord's table and having that time around the communion feast. And it's open to each one that is saved and going on with the Lord. And beloved, it's lovely to see each and every one gathered and even spending that time with us around the Lord's table. We do remind you as well, as we did this morning, of the two missions that are the drive-in missions at this time. The one in Portadown continues and finishes this Wednesday evening coming. And then there's one commencing just this evening over in Dromore and going on for the next number of weeks. The Reverend Martin's a preacher in Portadown and the Reverend Henderson is a preacher in the Dromore mission. And certainly we do pray that the Lord will bless them and use those missions and those efforts that are being made even to reach souls and to see the lost won for Jesus Christ. Can we ask you as well, just mentioned it this morning, but tomorrow morning we have had the invitation to speak to the children at the Leaving Assembly in Cully. We're thankful for that opportunity, and it's via Zoom in the morning. We'd value your prayers around 10 a.m. as we speak to both the children and indeed their parents as they come online as well for that time of Leaving Assembly. It's just a brief message, as it were, we're bringing, but we are looking to the Lord for his blessing that he would use it even to speak to the lost that will be gathered out even at that time. And so we're going to commence our worship this evening with the hymn 316. The hymn 316, the page is 304 in our hymn books. A trembling soul I sought the Lord, my sin confessed, my guilt deplored. How soft and sweet his word to me, I took thy place and died for thee. 316 will stand after the introduction, please. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, please, each and every one. Let's bow before the Lord with our hearts even this night. Let us come into His presence and seek His face in prayer. Let's pray. Our loving and our gracious God in heaven, oh, we come to Thee this evening. We want to simply thank Thee and praise Thee for the grace of Almighty God. We thank Thee for the saving grace. God, that grace that has brought us from darkness unto light. That grace that has brought us from death unto life. And O God, we thank Thee and we praise Thee that we truly were once blinded with sin. But now by the grace of God we see. We thank Thee that we are in our right minds. We thank Thee that we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We who were once naked with sin, now we have those beautiful garments of Christ upon us. Oh, we thank Thee this evening for the sufficient grace of Christ. We thank Thee, O God, for that special grace. O God, that we can testify each and every one that is saved. Lord, that we're saved by grace. That we're kept by grace. We thank Thee for sanctifying grace. We thank Thee, O God, even for that grace in our lives each and every day. Lord, that as we make our way through life's journey, and all of the trials, and all of the hardships, and all of the struggles that there are, and yet the grace of God is sufficient, O God, each and every day of our lives. We thank Thee it's in our weakness that Thy strength is made perfect. Lord, we think of the different individual needs that there are within our lives, and O God, within this congregation. We think of the burdens that there are for loved ones. O God, give that grace, even as we consider and as we look upon our loved ones, those that are in great need. We think, O God, of the concerns that there are for parents. We think, O God, of the concerns that there are for children, even when they're growing up and they've left the home, and yet the concerns continue. O pour in Thy grace, we pray Thee. Give them that peace, O God, in their hearts. Lord, undertake, we pray Thee. Lord, we do rejoice this night that we can come to Thee. We rejoice that we can gather to this house and we can worship Thee. We can bring, O God, Thy Word in our hands. We can bring Thy living Word. We can open it up, even as we're about to do in a moment, and we can read it together. We can hear the Word of God even being read, and Lord, the Word of God before our very eyes. We thank Thee that Thy Word is all that we need. O God, we thank Thee for the sufficiency of Scripture. We thank Thee, O God, that Scripture alone is what we need in our lives. Lord, we pray that as we not only read Thy Word, but as we hear Thy Word preached, that it will come with that freshness to our hearts. It will come with that quickening power by the Spirit to our hearts. It will be that even meat and that manna for our souls this night. O God, feed us from Thy Word. Feed each and every one of Thy children before us. Feed, O God, those that are unsaved as well. O God, give them the word of life and awaken them. Lord, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as Thy word is preached this night, O God, that it will find a resting place. The men and women, boys and girls, will be brought to saving faith in Christ. Remember those that are tuning in as well. O God, wherever they be this night, whatever their spiritual state is, O God, meet them. At the very point of it, we do pray to Thee, O God, this night for the missions that are even being conducted. We think of that mission as it continues in Portadown. Bless Thy servant, God, in working hearts. Give a desire, O God, to the ungodly to be gathered even to that place and to hear those words of the gospel being preached forth. We think as well in Dromore. Lord, bless Thy servant who will minister there over these incoming days and incoming weeks. Lord, bless them and use them. Lord, gather in the people of Dromore as well and that surrounding district. And Lord, save souls, we pray Thee. Oh, we long to hear of souls being saved. We long to hear, O God, of the Church of Christ being built up. We long, O God, to hear of the devil being defeated on all sides. Oh, come, we pray Thee, and work in hearts in these days. Remember even the meetings that are planned, O God, and Thy will for this week. We think of here in the church, and we think of the deputation on Wednesday evening. Bless our sister Christina as she will come. Lord, we thank Thee for her and what Thou hast even called her to. This work amongst the children of our land. And we pray that Thou will continue to bless it, to undertake for her. We think, O God, as well of the services, Lord, that are planned throughout this week. We think of that installation service over in Gardenstown. Lord, bless Thy servant Labbert as he takes up that work. O God, give him great days of blessing ahead. And O God, fill that church. And work there in the land of Scotland once again. Even up there in the northern part of the land. O Father, may it sweep down from the highlands into the lowlands. May the revival spread from one end to the other. O come amongst us and breathe upon this nation of ours in these days, we ask Thee. Lord, work even tonight. O God, as we spend this time in Thy house, O Lord, work amongst us and work within us. O Father, bless each one and bless our time in this house. But most importantly, O God, come amongst us. O, we long to meet with Thee this evening. We long to know and to feel the nearness and the presence of Almighty God. O come, we pray Thee, and be one of our number. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to read some verses from Acts chapter 16, please. Acts chapter 16. And commencing this evening at the verse 23. Acts chapter 16 and verse 23. The Word of God says there in Acts 16 and verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. When it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeants, saying, "Let those men go." The keeper of the prison told this, saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart, and go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. Now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them, and brought them out, and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison, and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Amen. And we trust and pray that the Lord will add his own blessing upon the reading of his precious word. One final hymn we're going to sing this evening And it is the hymn 282. The hymn 282, 'tis the promise of God, full salvation to give unto him who on Jesus his Son will believe. Hallelujah, 'tis done. I believe on the Son. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. 282, and we'll stand after the introduction, please. Have our Bibles open, please, in the book of Acts in the chapter 16. Coming to a very well known passage of Scripture, a very well known account that day, that hour, when the jailer was set free. That's our title for this evening, the jailer who was set free. So with our Bibles open before us, let's just have a moment's prayer, please. Even though it is a well-known passage, may each of us be praying that the Lord will speak to us and the Lord will even minister to our hearts afresh. Heavenly Father, we do rejoice in the words that we have just been singing. Oh God, we rejoice this night that we're not depending on anything else. We're depending on the blood of the crucified one. We thank thee that it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sins. And O God, we pray even tonight that as we minister in thy word, and as, O God, this congregation and those that are watching, as they hear thy word, O God, that thou wilt speak through it. That if there be any before us or any that are tuning in, still strangers to grace and to God, well, that this will be the night when they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and help us this night, empty us of self and of sin, and fill us with thy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonder as you read the verses recorded there in Acts 16, have you ever thought to yourself, I wonder, has this account, has it ever happened again? Has there ever been a time whenever jailers have got saved because of Christians being in prison? Those times whenever Christians, whether it be in this land, whether it be in Northern Ireland, whether it be in the UK or further afield, that they're cast into prison. And then their presence in prison is what the Lord uses to draw men, maybe jailers, maybe other prisoners, to draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I can give you one such account this evening, and it's not a unique account. Many times it has happened. It's happened in the, even in our own land. I can think of whenever some of the older ministers, the older saints of God, were put into prison, and how the Lord used them even there in Crumlin Road Jail to lead prisoners to the Lord in salvation. But I want to give you an account this evening of one of the greatest preachers that ever preached in the land of America. One of the greatest preachers who was most influential in the founding of America, he was a black preacher by the name of the Reverend John Morant. I spoke before about the 9 most influential individuals that there were coming up to the Declaration of Independence. And all 9 of them were ministers. 5 were black, 4 were white. Well, one of those men was by the name of the Reverend John Morant. At the age of 13, Morant was listening to the Reverend George Whitfield preach. And he came under great conviction of his sins. And it was actually George Whitfield himself who led young John Morant at the age of 13 to the Lord. He went home to his family, and his family immediately rejected him. He told his mom and his dad, he told his brothers and his sisters that he had got saved, and his parents put him out of the house. They said, we won't have you within our flock, as it were. We won't have you within our family. You're out. And so young John Morant, at the age of 13, having been kicked out of his house, began to live in the woods. He met a Cherokee brave. The two of them became very good friends. And after a number of weeks, the Cherokee brave was returning to the tribe. He said to John Morant, come with me. You can live with us. Now, John Morant, he knew the Cherokee laws and he knew the Cherokee traditions. No Cherokee, non-Cherokee was allowed within the Cherokee camp. And John Morant, though the other Cherokee brave, he said, you come with me. And the minute that John Morant came into the Cherokee camp, the chief of the tribe immediately had him arrested. He immediately sent all of the other braves and they came upon him. They arrested him and they brought him before the judge of the tribe. He was condemned to death by torture. They decided that what they would do was they were going to puncture his body down one side. They were going to make holes the entire way from top to bottom on the one side. And they were going to put sticks in through the holes and then they were going to set fire to him. And then they were going to roll him over. They were going to puncture the other side at the age of 13, put the sticks in again and set fire to that side. And if that didn't kill him, well then they were just going to cast him into the fire itself. And they decided they would do it the next day. John Morant, at the start, as he, at the age of 13, as he was being put into this little hut, this little teepee for the evening, he was very upset. Only a young lad of 13, there was a bit of fear came upon him, but very quickly this peace came upon him. And he realized, if they kill me tomorrow morning, I'm going to be with my Savior. If they take my life tomorrow morning, well, I'm going to be with the Lord. Tomorrow morning, I might actually see Christ face to face.
And all of the fear left him, and joy filled his heart. And what he began to do there in that little hut, that little prison cell as it were, he began to sing. And he began to pray, and he began to praise. There was one Cherokee brave just outside the flap, as it were, outside the door. And he heard John Morant making all of this noise, and he wondered, who is he talking to? And so he went in and he asked him, he says, who are you talking to? He says, I'm talking to Jesus. And the guard looked around, there was no one else there. And he says, why, where is he? And he says, he's right here with me. And that prison guard, the Cherokee brave, came under conviction of sin, was saved himself. The guard then went and got the judge, or got the executioner. He says, you need to come in and you need to hear what this man is saying. The executioner came in and was brought under conviction of sin, saved as well. The executioner went out, he got the judge of the tribe. He was brought in, he was saved as well. Then the three of them went out and they got the tribe leader. And he was saved as well. And the tribe leader, he says, now you come round and you preach to every Cherokee brave and every Cherokee squaw. And the entire tribe of Cherokees was brought to salvation in Christ. You know what happened there in those days, thank God, can happen time after time after time. You see, the Lord that we serve, our God, is unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same forever. All may change, but our God never. And what God did there in the Philippian jail, he's done on numerous occasions. What the Lord allowed to happen to Paul and Silas, he's allowed to happen in his providence time and time again, to bring Christians, to bring his saints, to bring his servants into contact with those that need to be saved. Now we read tonight, as I said, one of the most well-known events in the book of Acts, if not the scriptures. Paul and Silas, having been arrested, they're brought to the magistrates. They're accused, they're adjudged, and then they're assaulted. Their backs are opened with the whip, and then they're imprisoned. All in accordance with the will of God to set free a jailer. There are three things I want to leave with you from this passage this evening. In verse 23 and 24, first of all, you have the setting. The setting that tells us when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Having received such a charge, he thrust them into the inner prison and he made their feet fast in the stocks. Everything that happened to Paul and Silas, everything that happened to them within that city of Philippi, every single step of it was ordered and planned and decreed by God. Them going down to a meeting with Lydia, then being brought into Lydia's house, then going down to the river time after time, this woman coming their way, crying out, these men are the servants of the Most High God. All of it was in accordance with God's will. The anger then of her owners, that was in accordance with the will of God. Being brought before the magistrates, these magistrates siding with the owners, that was in accordance with the will of God. They're put into prison, falsely accused, and severely punished. And yet we can say, like Joseph said in the book of Genesis, these men meant it for evil, the Lord has meant it for good. They're taken to prison, they're handed over to the guard. You having received the men and received the instructions for them, he puts them into solitary confinement. It tells us there they're put into the inner prison. Their feet, their hands are made safe in the chains and in the stocks. May I wonder what our response would have been to that. I wonder if that was us as a child of God, as servants of God, if we were taken falsely accused, and if we were found guilty, even though the evidence was not there, and if we then are put in prison, having had our backs opened, and blood flowing out of our backs, and then thrust into prison and put into chains that we cannot move. Our ankles put into stocks that we cannot move. And we're sitting there in that chains and in those stocks in that inner prison. With all of that pain. With all of that suffering. I wonder what I would have done. I wonder what you would have done. tells us Paul and Silas, they sang. I have to be honest, if that was me, I think singing would have been the last thing in my mind. How many of us would have said, why, this isn't fair? And many of us, yes, we maybe would have prayed, but we would have prayed in anger. We would have been crying unto the Lord saying, why, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? I came at the call of the Macedonian call. I came after that vision that you sent me here. Lord, we've been moving. We've been blessed by thee. Lydia's came to faith. We're really making inroads. Lord, why? Many of us would have sat there depressed and sullen. Poor me. Oh, it always happens to me. Everyone else seems to get away with such an easy life, but poor me. It picked on me again. And yet it tells us in the midst of that darkness, in the midst of the dump, the dirty prison with all of that pain and discomfort as the blood's matting in their back, all of that uncomfortableness. Remember this, their hands are chained, their feet are chained. And I'm sure the back was in agony. It was as if it was on fire. And they can't touch it because their hands are chained. There's nothing they can do to try and ease or anything at all. And yet what do? They sing. And they praise God. You know, I think of the words of David in Psalm 34 in verse 1. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And you think of all that David suffered after he came into the household, as it were, of Saul. He was given Michal for a wife. And then you think after that time, yes, he was elevated, as it were. He was loved by the people. And immediately then he was hated by Saul. And from that moment, after that time, Saul started to try and have him killed. He thrust a javelin at him on two occasions. Saul then forced him out. Saul said, I'm going to kill him. So he had to leave. David had to leave his wife. He had to leave his home. He had to then run for his life. As Saul chased him from mountain to hilltop to valley, to cave after cave, to cave of Adullam, to where Doeg the Edomite even blamed him and even reported it back to Saul. He chased him and he hounded him from pillar to post. And yet David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Even whenever I'm being chased. Even when the army's against me. Even when I have to leave my wife, my home. Even when I'm leaving behind my family. I'm leaving behind all of my comforts. I'm leaving behind all of my friends. I will bless the Lord at all times. C.H. Spurgeon, he said, anyone can sing in the day, but a skillful singer is he who can sing when there is not a ray of light to read by. Songs in the night, they come only from God. They are not in the power of man. No scripture doesn't reveal what the prayers of Paul and Silas were. Doesn't reveal whether or not they prayed and they asked the Lord why. But it does tell us that they loved their Savior because they praised Him. They lifted up their voices. They lifted up their hearts. These were two men that trusted the Lord. Even in the midst of everything that was going on, they're trusting the Lord completely. And they're singing and they're praying to that effect. Can you imagine the impact that would have had upon the other prisoners? No one ever sang in prison. Who would ever be thankful for having been lashed? Who would ever be thankful for being in prison, for being put into that solitary confinement? Who would ever praise and give thanks for having the chains upon their wrists? Yet that's exactly what Paul did. That's exactly what Silas did. You see, because they realized and they appreciated and they rejoiced, we're not alone in here. The Lord's with us. The Lord never dropped us, as it were, whenever we're coming up to this lady in there in his feet in Philippi. The Lord is with us even to this very moment. They had nothing to fear. And so they sang and they prayed. And as they're singing, God sends an earthquake. It tells us there in the verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all of the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. It is a great earthquake. And yet, not one door falls off the hinges, not one wall collapses. It is a great earthquake and every chain falls off the wrists. Every stock is opened off the ankles. It shook the very foundations. And yet it never damaged a wall, a ceiling, or a door. You see the miracle in that earthquake? God's controlling it all. Every prisoner is now free, and yet another miracle takes place, for not one makes a move to escape. No one says, this is our opportunity, we must go now. We'll all go together as a great band. We'll overcome by number, by force of number, we'll overcome the guard. They all stay. The prison guard awakes. He sees the open door. He believes all the prisoners are gone, so he draws out his sword. He knew the punishment. He knew that if he waited till the morning and then he reported, all my prisoners are gone, he would be put to death. So he says, why wait? The fear that came upon him. He just says, I'll take my own life. He pulls that sword out of the sheath. And Paul, sitting there in the cell, he hears the rattle of the sword. He realizes what's going to happen. He could have stayed quiet, couldn't he? He could have let that man kill himself. He could have said, well, that jailer's done nothing good for us. He just cast us in here. He made sure we were tight in our chains and in our stocks. He didn't care for us in the slightest. Why should we care for him? Paul and Silas could have stayed quiet and just waited for the jailer to stab him and drive that sword into his belly. But you see, to Paul, the Silas, he was a soul. He was a soul that was heading to hell. Brothers and sisters, regardless what an individual does to you, always remember they are a soul. Regardless of what their thoughts, regardless of what their actions are towards you, regardless if they hate you, despise you, whatever the case may be, always remember they're still a soul. And they're heading to hell. And Paul could not stay quiet. He had to cry out. He made that cry even there to him, sir, do thyself no harm. We're all here. You know, it's such a wonderful example of the heart of Christ that we see in Paul. The compassion, the love for the lost, that's Christ. I believe the greatest example I can show you of that is Christ upon the cross and the dying thief. Because if you read the accounts of the Gospels, both thieves criticized, both thieves mocked, both thieves came against Christ. They cast it in his teeth. They ridiculed him. They belittled him. And yet whenever the dying thief turned, he said to the Lord, remember me. The Lord's promised him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Compassion that Christ had is the compassion that Paul had. It's a compassion that we must have. the setting. Then secondly, I want you to see the verse 29 and the verse 30, the searching. The searching. It tells us he called for a light and he sprang in and came trembling. And fell down before Paul and Silas, brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they were there, this jailer, the sword drawn, ready to kill himself, and I believe in that moment, as he's standing with that sword in his hand and he's about to plunge it into himself, I believe not only did he hear the words of Paul, but I believe the Spirit of God opened his eyes. I believe in that moment he realized exactly where he would be. If he drove that sword into himself, he realized his, you could say as it were, his life flashed before him. But he understood this, the Spirit of God opened his heart. You're lost. If you drive that sword into yourself and you take your own life, right now, you're in hell. See, in that moment, the jailer saw himself for who he truly was. And so in the verse 29, it tells us he called for a light. Now, in the practical sense, this was very important. He made sure he went to the right place. Can you imagine if he had have just felt his way, as it were, and crawled until he found a door and went in through that door? You think the other prisoners would have been as kind to him? What do you think the other prisoners would have done to him? They would have killed him. They would have inflicted the greatest punishment they could and take a sword off him. Either kill him or leave him badly beaten in a corner as they fled from the prison. Even that little detail of he asked for a light, that's the mercy of God upon him, giving him wisdom even to ask for it. To ensure that he went to the right cell, to ensure that he went to the right person. He called for the light. Spiritually speaking, you can see the lesson in it as well. You want to know the way of salvation, you want to know the need of your soul being met, you need the light of the Scriptures. You want to find your way out of this darkened world. You want to find your way to the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to find your way to the peace that passeth all understanding. You need the light of the Scriptures. You need that word that's a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. See, if we don't have the Scriptures, we will not see or know anything about Christ. You find me another book that presents to you the Lord Jesus Christ. You find me another book that presents to us the way of salvation. You find another book that presents to us the doctrine of sin and the Savior even dying for the sins of his people. There is none. This is the light in the darkened world. The jailer, he asks for that light and he gets that light. He runs in, it tells us, and he falls before them. He's trembling. He fell down before Paul and Silas and he brought them out and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You know, the word for sirs is the word kurios. Same word as Lord. You look for the word Lord in Scripture, it will always be kurios. And so here he's saying, "Sirs," he's saying kurioi, which is a plural of Lord. He falls down before them. He cries, "Lords, what must I do to be saved?" Now as I look at this, I wonder to myself, does he believe salvation's found in a man or in these men? And he falls down before them. Is he falling down to worship them? Is he falling down before them believing these men have salvation to give me? These men can save me. Is he falling into the same trap even as the people of Derbe and Lystra in Acts 14? They called Paul and Barnabas, they called them Jupiter and Mercurius. They were going to sacrifice to them. Is he falling into that trap? Is he putting his faith in man? Why is it still today so many are putting their faith in religious figures and churches? Why is it today individuals are happy to hand their souls into the hands of mere mortals? To say, oh, my preacher, my minister, my priest, my church, they'll take care of me. They'll watch over me. They'll give me everything I'll need. They'll make sure I get to heaven. The salvation of souls and the safekeeping of souls is not in the remit of a church. It's the work of a triune God. Bishop Taylor Smith, Anglican bishop who was the general chaplain of the Allied forces in World War I. He was a man also that was instrumental in ensuring that every single soldier that signed up for the British Army, the very first thing they got was a copy of the Gospel of John. Each soldier that signed up, they immediately were given the king's shilling. That sign of the first weeks of wages, and that sign showing you're now enlisted in the British Army. And the very next thing they were given, they weren't given a uniform, they weren't given a weapon, they were given a copy of John's Gospel. Just a little sized booklet fitted into the breast pocket. It was the very first thing every soldier got. But as the chaplain of the British forces and the Allied forces in World War I, he was a general chaplain. Before any other soldier could become a chaplain, they had to be interviewed by Bishop Taylor. He sat them down. He always asked them the same question. He says, if a soldier has been injured in a battlefield, he's only 3 minutes to live, what are you going to tell him? And if any chaplain or student chaplain, should I say, if any gave the answer of offering prayer or offering membership or offering anything but the gospel, he wouldn't pass them. What he was looking was the simplicity. And that's what I want you to see thirdly, is the simplicity of the gospel. That's what he was looking. He was looking at Acts 16:31. Just look at the words there in verse 31 as we bring our time to a close. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. The question is asked. The answer is given. That answer that Paul and Silas gave brought forth to him the simplicity of the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not believe in. Believe on. You see, that's where the depth of the gospel is evident as well as the simplicity. The devil believes in Christ. The devil knows that Christ is real. He's met with him. He's spoken to him. He's trying to destroy him. The devil knows he's real. He believes in him, but the devil will never be saved. James 2:19 tells us the devils also believe and tremble, and they will never be saved. All of those evil spirits, all of the fallen angels, the minions of the devil, all of those are going to be cast into the lake of fire. And many of them have spoke with Christ. I think of those in Legion. There, whenever the Lord comes to Legion, look at verse 31. It tells us those legion of devils, they besought Christ to send them into the swine. They communed actually with the Lord Jesus himself. They talked with Christ. Not one of them will be in heaven. See, I'm not asking anyone this evening to believe in Jesus. I'm asking you to believe on him. I'm asking you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe on his death. To believe in his sacrifice is the only means of satisfying God's wrath. I'm asking you to believe on him that not only did he die for your sins, but he rose from the dead. I'm asking you tonight to believe on his death and his resurrection, the two great pillars of the gospel, because whenever you believe on his death and you believe on his resurrection, then you're believing on Christ. And then you can and you will be saved from your sins. Verse 32, it tells us that they brought to him the word of God. They didn't just simply say that one statement and then leave it. They spake unto him the word of the Lord to all that were in his house. They gave him the doctrine of sin. They gave him the way of salvation. That night, the Philippian jailer and his house repented of their sins and were saved. Just as the Lord had opened the heart of Lydia, so too did he open the heart of this jailer. You know, it's wonderful to see the change in this man. We spoke last week about the fruits of the Spirit. See, many of the fruits of the Spirit are found within these verses that follow. Whenever you look at this man, you look at the change. How do we know he was saved? Because the change is there. The evidence is there. The fruits of the Spirit, there's gentleness, there's goodness, there's meekness, there's love, there's joy. Because the one who was once hardened in heart now is showing love and compassion. He takes Paul and Silas to his own house. He washes their stripes. He brought them into his own house. He set before or meat before them. There's meekness. There's gentleness. There's goodness. There's love. Then we read on and it tells us he rejoiced believing in God with all his house. There's joy. There's faith. My, what a difference Christ has made. What freedom he now had. No longer was this individual a slave and a servant of the devil. No longer is he shackled by sin. Now he's been set free. What a night that was. What grace is shown. My, he thought he was in control. Yet the Lord brought him to the very point of suicide. Brought him to his very knees. And then the gospel light just shone in. The way of salvation was made so clear to him. He believed. And he was saved. What about you tonight? Are you free? You free from the law? You free from the penalty of death? You free from the penalty of hell? My friend, you can be. Even tonight. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't simply believe in him. Believe on him. Trust him with everything. Trust him with your life. Your soul. Turn from your sin. And believe on the Savior of men. My friend, you'll be saved. What about you listening online tonight? Out of Christ without a Savior. Will you come? Get in touch with us. The numbers always come up at the end of the meeting. Come and put your trust not in simply a man or a church, but to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the way of salvation. We thank Thee, O God, for the simplicity of the gospel. All we have to do is simply trust on everything Christ has done. O Father, write Thy word upon our hearts, we pray Thee. And even this night we pray that men and women will be set free, that boys and girls will be set free, that those shackles of sin and the enslavement to the devil, oh God, that this night freedom will come. Lord, take us now to our homes in safety and watch over us, we pray Thee. And glorify Thy Son even in our lives throughout this week. Watch over our going out and our coming in. Be with and bless each one, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.